Blog Talk Radio.
I am united with the Lord Jesus Christ in all of his life and work. By faith, I desire to enter into the victory of the incarnation of my Lord today. I invite him to live his victory in me. Thank you, Lord Jesus Christ, that you experience all temptation that I have experienced and yet never sinned. I enter by faith into the mighty work of the crucifixion of my Lord. Thank you, dear Father, that through Jesus Christ's blood, there is moment by moment cleansing from all sin, permitting me to fellowship with you. Thank you that the work on the cross brings Satan's work to nothing. I enter by faith into the full power and authority of my Lord's resurrection. I desire a walk in the newness of life that is mine through my Lord's resurrection. Lead me into deeper understanding of the resurrection. By faith, I enter into my union with the Lord Jesus Christ in his ascension. I rejoice that my Lord displayed openly his victory over all powers as he ascended into glory through the very realm of the prince of the power of the air. I enter into my victory aggressively and claim my place as more than conqueror through him who loves me. I offer up this prayer in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ with thanksgiving. I pray tonight, amen and amen.
Our online Bible College at
houseofchristbiblecollege.org. You can also visit our affiliated school of ministry, House of David Ministries, Inc., and the Tony Owens Ministry at www.reverseofrevival.com. You can also visit us at www.foodforthepoor.org/Christ Ministries. House of Christ Ministries, Inc. now supports Food for the Poor. We need your financial support to raise funds to assist their efforts. Food for the Poor is helping the poorest of poor in 17 Latin American and Caribbean countries, including Jamaica. There are no easy fix when it comes to poverty. Your donation will help to alleviate some of the pressing issues facing the poor. I pray that you will find it in your hearts to give. You can visit us at www.foodforthepoor.org/Christ Ministries. All donations will be appreciated. All donations are tax deductible under Internal Revenue Code, Section 501(c)(3). If you prefer to mail a check, please make it payable to Food for the Poor, Inc., and it should be mailed to 6401 Lyons Road, Coconut Creek, Florida, 33073. Please write on the check's memo line SC80192 to ensure proper tracking. Once again, if you prefer to mail a check, please write on the check's memo line SC80192 to ensure proper tracking. God bless you as you find it in your heart to support a worthy cause. Sunday and Wednesdays, proclaiming Jesus Christ throughout the world and honoring the Great Commission at 8:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Our monthly mailing lessons, our social Christian network, our online Bible Institute and Bible College, our posting of words of the day on numerous websites. We are reaching hundreds throughout the world for Jesus Christ. It is our desire to take the uncompromised and anointed word of God to the whole world. starting with our local community, bringing lost souls to a practical relationship with Jesus Christ. Our mission at House of Christ Ministries is to proclaim Jesus Christ throughout the world and prepare believers and non-believers how to live independently and have dominion to reign over the enemies of this world. We encourage you to sow into this ministry for the furtherance of the gospel of Jesus Christ and winning souls for the kingdom. Your prayer and financial support are important components to bringing the gospel to the world. Together we can make a difference. If you would like to send your prayer request or share a testimony or make a donation or love offering, please contact us at House of Christ Ministries, Inc., P.O. Box 30371, Helmand, New York, 11003. Or you could email us at hodminister@gmail.com. All donations are tax deductible under Internal Revenue Code Section 501C3. Dr. Oswald J. Smith once said, "Any church that is not seriously involved in helping fulfill the Great Commission has forfeited its biblical right to exist." ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. And he said unto them, Go ye into all the world, and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils, they shall speak with new tongues, they shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. Acts chapter 1, verses 6 through 8 says, When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? And he said unto them, It is not for you to know the times or the seasons, which the Father hath put in his own power. But ye shall receive power. After that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, and in all Judea, and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth. Beloved, we are ambassadors of Jesus Christ. Beloved, once again, we are ambassadors for Jesus Christ. We are his envoy, sent forth with his message to the world. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 20 says, Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. The greatest message of reconciliation is committed to ambassadors, to all who truly follow Jesus Christ. You are given the highest of titles. You are an ambassador for Jesus Christ. As an ambassador, an official envoy, you are sent for to represent the sender and to announce the message of the sender. Four things are always true about an ambassador. Four things that are always true about you. An ambassador belongs to the one who sends him or her out. You too belong to the one who has sent you into the world. An ambassador is commissioned to be sent out. Your mission exists only for the purpose for which Jesus Christ has sent you. An ambassador possesses all authority and power of the one who sent him or her out. You too possesses all the authority and power of Jesus Christ who sends you into the world. An ambassador is sent with the message of the sender. You too are sent forth with the message of Jesus Christ. John chapter 15, verse 16 says, Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you, and ordained you, that ye should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it to you. Beloved, you are given the greatest message. Be reconciled to God. This message is so critical that you are to appeal to people, beg, cry, and plead with them to be reconciled to God. It is for Jesus Christ's sake that you are to plead with people. Jesus Christ has paid the ultimate price to make reconciliation available. He has taken the sins of people upon himself and borne the condemnation for them. Because he has done so much, every person owes his or her life to Jesus Christ. Every person needs to be reached and reconciled to God. as Jesus Christ's ambassador, you are to have a message of reconciliation to your part of the world and help others take it to every human being worldwide. As Christ's ambassador, you are to take his message of reconciliation to your part of the globe, your part of the world, your part of the community, your part of the state, your social network, your schools, your jobs, and help others take it to every human being worldwide. So tonight I call on you to join me in proclaiming Jesus Christ throughout the world and honor the Great Commission. I trust that you will submit and follow the leading of the Holy Spirit. Thank you. on this spiritual journey, proclaiming Jesus Christ throughout the world and honoring the Great Commission, our number one goal is Jesus Christ. Our mission is souls, and our vision is the last day's book of Acts. Our lesson for tonight is Proof of the Living God, Part 3. I encourage you to join us every Sunday and Wednesdays at 8:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Let the blood of Jesus Christ cover all areas of my being, to cleanse, protect, and deliver me from the fear of him who has no authority over or rights to my life or this ministry. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed me with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. The Lord is the sun and shield to me, and will give me grace and glory in Jesus' name. In the name of my precious Lord Jesus Christ, seal me with your salvation and righteous protection, and make me to be an overcomer in all things. Amen. Father, I thank you for your opportunity that you've given me tonight, Lord, to minister to your people as we continue on this spiritual journey. Our lesson for tonight is Proofs of the Living God, Part 3. Welcome to the third installation of Proofs of the Living God. In this lesson, we will examine the origin of language as another proof of the living God. The first word was spoken by God. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. And the Word was God. John chapter 1, verse 1. The definition of word is a meaningful unit of language sounds, information, a promise, a brief utterance. The language of God was made flesh. He was made a biological creation. Jesus Christ is the living message of God supernaturally packed into a form like ours too, so we could physically see and experience him with our five senses. With the sixth sense, faith, we could receive him into our hearts. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten Son of the Father, full of grace and truth. John chapter 1, verse 14. Beloved, he is the Messiah, God's promise to the earth. In the Son we see, O God the Father, kept his word. The name of Jesus Christ is a brief utterance that carries authority in three realms. In the spirit realm, in the earth realm, and in hell. Wherefore God also had highly exalted him, and give him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Philippians chapter 2, verses 9 through 11. Man was created with linguistic skills to immediately and intelligently communicate. The Bible tells us that not only is God the Son, the Word, but in Genesis chapter 1, verses 26 through 28, he created man in God's image and likeness and gave him the ability to communicate by intelligent words. So intelligent were these words that they formed the very seedbed for the world language that would be spoken throughout the history of man. And out of the ground, the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every fowl of the air, and brought them unto Adam to see what he would call them. And whatsoever Adam called every living creature, that was the name thereof. And Adam gave names to all cattle, and to the fowl of the air, and to every beast of the field. But for Adam, there was not found a helpmeet for him. Genesis chapter 2, verses 19 through 20. And Adam called his wife's name Eve, because she was the mother of all living. Genesis chapter 3, verse 20. In the above scriptures, we read how Adam was tasked by God with the responsibility to name the animals. And at the appointed time, he even named his wife. This gift to understand and designate according to design and purpose. The animals and the wife given to him as a suitable companion was an ability given to him from God. Adam was created full grown in the strength and intelligence of a young adult male. It was necessary at this stage of maturity for language to be fully developed. Adam would be the natural father of the human race and would need to have an established language to communicate to his progeny, a language in which mankind would continue to adapt and pass along to succeeding generations throughout the centuries. The language Adam spoke was the language of his heavenly father. The pattern where one learned to speak from their parents' language began there. He was, as forestated, created with this ability already mature. Language matures in babies as their brains develop. The infant's brain actually becomes programmed through the parental relationship with the language of their family environment. Babies who are born normal with no mental and or speech and hearing defects have the ability to learn any language on earth when placed in that environment. And on the rare occasions, they may even have the ability to speak in tongues should God desire it. Because we know that John the Baptist was baptized in the Holy Spirit while yet in his mother's womb. You could take a look at Luke chapter 1, verses 13 through 15. Secular scientists. However, did you know that secular scientists believe that language developed into what it is today as a result of human evolution? According to Charles Darwin, the father of evolution, human language developed from grunts and clicks. Our reportedly primitive ancestors used to communicate with each other. Darwin reached this conclusion based on his observance of a native people in Tierra del Fuego, an archaeological of South America across the Straits of Magellan. Charles Darwin described the Fuegian people as savages and primitive beasts, whose Yagam language only consisted of a mere 100 or so words and sound more like animals' grunts and clicks. However, when Thomas Bridges, a 19th century missionary, took the gospel to the Fuegian people, he recorded over 32,000 words, an inflection word alteration in his Fugean English dictionary. This work was to bridge the language barrier between the English-speaking missionaries and the Fugean people. Dowring had been wrong in his observance of this intelligent society. The language was much more developed and advanced than he had understood. Despite Darwin's mistaken findings in the entire body of world scientific today, there has never yet been a civilization, primitive or advanced, that has not had a thriving and complex system of language. The fact that bewilders scientists, particularly those who are evolutionists, they assume that language had to come from obscure and unintelligible sounds and gestures in order to match the primitive development of human beings, from primates to modern men. But there just has not been any significant evidence of this theory. In fact, some ancient forms of language have actually been more complex than our modern ones. So what does that tell us? That language and the biological structure of our speech apparatus, vocal cords, tongue, brain activity, etc., distinguish mankind apart and above the animal kingdom. It is a scientific fact that language is the one unique human skills that apes, the very one science says are our evolutionary predecessors, can never learn. Why is this? Because their biological speech apparatus is not made for the communication or articulation of words like that of human beings. That means you could never teach an ape to speak in any other language except sign language, or teaching them to use an apparatus that can substitute for language. According to Henry Morris, PhD, in his article called The Mystery of Human Language, he states that language is the main entity that separates man from ape and other animals. Yes, beloved, even animals like parrots and other birds can be trained to mimic human speech, still lack the ability to understand the words or the emotions behind the things they say. But what about the serpent in the Garden of Eden? And Balaam's donkey. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, Yea, hath God said this? Ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, Ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, Ye shall not surely die, for God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. Genesis chapter 3, verses 1 through 5. The nature of the serpent described in Genesis chapter 3 as subtle, crafty, deceitful nature, describes the influence of the presence of Satan upon it. For it was the devil behind the serpent's actions and words. The serpent would use to charm, beguile Eve into disobeying God. Its seductive quality piqued her interest and drew her in. Numbers chapter 22, verses 21 through 35. Though the donkey saw the angel and resisted Balaam's attempt to proceed further, feeling the wrath of Balaam because of it, she did not speak intelligently until the Lord opened its mouth. 2 Peter chapter 2, verses 15 and 16 reads, the dumbed ass, speaking with man's voice, forbade the madness of the prophet. The donkey was called dumb because it lacked the power of human speech, because it was not human. The only way it was able to speak was because God gave it a man's voice. No languages without God. And the Lord came down to see the city and the tower, where the children of men had builded. And the Lord said, behold, the people is one, and they have all one language, and this they begin to do. And now nothing will be restrained from them which they have imagined to do. Go to, let us go down there, confound their language, that they may not understand one another's speech. So the Lord scattered them abroad from hence upon the face of the earth, and they left off to build the city. Therefore is the name of it called Babel, or Babel, because the Lord did there confound the language of all the earth, and from thence did the Lord scatter them abroad upon the face of all the earth. Genesis chapter 11, verses 5 through 9. It is significant that the people of earth still spoke the one language God had given to Adam. It showed how faithfully and consistently that initial language had been passed from generation to generation. Any small adaptation to the basic language given to fit this new generation of people did not hinder its use or dominance as the only language mankind spoke. However, God looked at the intention of the people's heart. It was not one of obedience. It was one of united rebellion against God. The city that they were building was a stronghold to defend them from any consequences God might bring against them because of sin. They were building a tower because they remembered the story of Noah's flood and decided they would need a tall building to run into it if God decided to punish them with a flood again for sin. Also, they intended to get the help of fallen spirit beings, demonic princes, Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12, who dwelt in high places, by sacrificing to them and honoring them. Archaeologists have explored and studied similar structure called ziggurats. These are pyramid-shaped towers with a square base, rising in stories of ever-decreasing size, with a terrace at each story and a temple at the very top. They are yet seen in parts of Mexico and South America, where ancient civilization, including the Aztecs, lived. God saw the art of the people, and because they provoked him to wrath and another judgment, he decided to separate them from this anti-God unity. He confounded and confused their one language, scrambling it into parts so that they had to separate and leave off their building project because they could no longer understand one another. The population of mankind scattered by families across the face of the earth, trying to make sense of the new languages they now spoke. It was God's mercy to mankind, separating him from the rebellion of the masses to live out his purpose till the earth was fully populated. The Tables of Nations. The 10th chapter of Genesis is called the Table of Nations because it gives a charter of the descendants of Noah. It lists the male progeny of each of Noah's three sons, out of which came the future nations of the world. From that time till now, in this chapter, we see how the nations were divided by language, family line, and the territories they occupied across the earth. These seed nations represented about 70 languages. If we consider, there are approximately 7 ancestral tribes mentioned in this chapter. So we can conclude that when they were scattered at Babel or Babel, the one language they had spoken became approximately 70 basic ones, which they took with them when they were scattered across the earth. Now, don't be confused. Genesis chapter 10 is the result of what happened in Genesis chapter 11. The Tower of Babel was mentioned in the chapter of the sons of Ham, Genesis chapter 10, verses 6 through 20. But the account of what happened to his grandson Nimrod's kingdom, Babel, Genesis chapter 10, verses 8 through 10. And why it did not prosper is told in Genesis chapter 11. Historical linguists believe that today the estimated 6,000 languages have developed from about 100 words family. These word families are an expanded adaptation of the original 70 spoken by those ancestral nations. Pentecost. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly, there came a sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and began to speak other tongues, as the Spirit gave them utterance. And there were dwelling at Jerusalem Jews, devout men, out of every nation under heaven. And when this was noised abroad, the multitude came together, and were confounded, because that every man heard them speak in his own language. Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 6. On the day of Pentecost, God assembled together the languages that the nations he had previously separated. However, this time it was on their own terms. This time, it was to give them a single message they would hear in their own native language. In Genesis chapter 11, they had a single message from Satan that was against God. This time, the message they received would be from God the Father about his Son. They would be united in the knowledge of Jesus Christ. Then God would again disperse them to take this message back to their countries after their pilgrimage to Jerusalem was over. The 120 in the upper room would be the inspired spokesmen who would speak this new message to the thousands the Lord had assembled for that very purpose. The ability to speak and understand the world's language, other tongues, was not the only gift given to the 120 in the upper room on that day, in spirit and in truth. God created us with the intention to have relationship with Him. However, when the relationship was broken by Adam and Eve's disobedience in the Garden of Eden, it stopped us from being able to communicate with God, for our sins hid His face from us. He will not hear us. Isaiah chapter 59, verse 1 and 2. God, through Jesus Christ, restored that relationship. However, we still have the fallen nature within us that we inherited from Adam. It expresses itself through our human souls and hinders that communication. Our souls have to be renewed by the Word, the language of God. In the meantime, while we are renewing our minds, God has told us He has another desire that we worship Him in spirit and in truth. John chapter 4, verse 23. Since our minds are being renewed by His truth as we obey and apply it, our spirits are also being transformed as well. He has given us a way to communicate with Him in spirit. Yes, from His spirit to our human spirit and back again. Unknown tongues. For he that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto men, but unto God. For no man understandeth him. Howbeit in the spirit, he speaketh mysteries. For if I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit prayeth, but my understanding is unfruitful. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verses 2 and 14. God has given our reborn human spirit upon reception of the baptism of the Holy Ghost a language to speak to Him privately and intimately with no barrier of communication in the expression of those words. It is the Spirit-filled believer's prayer language to God. For those who do not understand what they are saying, or they pray in the Spirit, or as they pray in the Spirit, as they speak with unknown tongues, they can ask God for the interpretation of those words, so that they can understand those utterances with their brain. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 10. Interpretation of tongues. However, don't neglect praying in your known language. For Paul said he prayed in the Spirit, and he prayed with his understanding. Nevertheless, God has, through the unknown tongue, given the Christian the type of heart-to-heart communication he shared with Adam back in the garden before sin that hindered their relationship. Beloved, do not be afraid to ask God for this prayer language. He is faithful. And the Lord said unto him, Who made man's mouth? Or who maketh the dumb, or deaf, or the seeing, or the blind? Have not I the Lord? Now therefore go, and I will be with thy mouth, and teach thee what thou shalt say. Exodus chapter 4, verses 11 and 12.
From the depths of the sea,
from the heights of the heavens.
This song we raise, Lord.
I would like to extend an invitation to you to join me on the Roman road to salvation. If you have not accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, or if you had previously accepted him and turned away from him, he is waiting to be restored as the Lord and Master of your lives. Beloved, God created us in his own image to have an abundant life. God gave us a will and freedom of choice. We chose to disobey God and go our own sinful way, resulting in separation from God. I encourage you to turn away from the sins of the world and accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and
Savior. Reach out. Oh, bless the name of Jesus. This is an appeal to reach out and touch Jesus. As he's passing your way right this very moment,
you will find he's not too busy.
I'm talking to you, my sister. I'm talking to you, my brother. I'm talking to some mother. I'm talking to some father right now. I'm talking to that young man. I'm talking to that young woman. Jesus is passing away right now. If you just reach out and touch Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. Jesus of Nazareth is passing your way. Somebody just reach out and touch Jesus right now. Everybody of his soul, right now in the name of Jesus,
touch the Lord.
Reach out and touch Jesus
as he
keeps passing away.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Jesus Christ is standing at the door of your heart, knocking, listening, and waiting for you to make that decision. For those who are turned away from Him, tonight I am asking you to renew your commitment to Jesus Christ. Will you receive Jesus Christ right now? Romans chapter 10, verse 3 says, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. 1 John 1, verses 8 through 10 says, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make Him a liar, and His word is not in us. Romans chapter 3, verse 23 says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Romans chapter 6, verse 23 says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Romans chapter 10, verse 9 says, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Jesus Christ said in Matthew chapter 11, verse 28, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Matthew chapter 16, verse 24, he said, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up the cross and follow me. If you would like to receive Jesus Christ into your life, please join me in this prayer right now. Heavenly Father, I come to you admitting that I am a sinner. Right now, Lord, I choose to turn away from sin, and I ask you to cleanse me of all unrighteousness. I believe that your Son, Jesus Christ, died on the cross to take away my sins. I also believe that He rose again from the dead so that I might be forgiven of my sins and made righteous through faith. I call upon the name of Jesus Christ to be the Savior and Lord of my life. Lord Jesus, I choose to follow you and ask that you will fill me with the power of the Holy Spirit. I declare that right now I am a child of God. I am free from sin and full of the righteousness of God. I am saved in Jesus. Beloved, if you pray this prayer and receive Jesus Christ as your Savior, please contact us at the House of Christ Ministries, Inc., P.O. Box 30371, Elmont, New York, 11003. Or you could email us at hodminister@gmail.com. God bless you. And I pray that the Lord will continue to guide your steps. Some accept this wondrous gift of God. Everyone accepts this gift becomes a child of God. Many others refuse this wondrous gift of God. And everyone who refuses this gift perishes. They condemn themselves. John chapter 3, verse 18 says, "He that believeth in him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son." I encourage you to write to us, or if you can find a church that preach Jesus Christ died and resurrected, and the good news, please feel free to attend. But I must remind you, John chapter 3, verse 16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting." Galatians chapter 3, verse 26 says, "We are children of God by faith in Christ Jesus." God bless you. Therefore, endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangled himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. And if a man also strive for masteries, yet he is not crowned, except he strive lawfully. The husbandman that laboreth must be first partaker of the fruits. May the grace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the full fellowship of the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, rest, remain, and abide with you all. Amen. I'm your host, Reverend Donald Davis, thanking you for tuning in and reminding you to join us every Sunday and Wednesdays at 8:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. God bless you, and good night.